Do you believe God uses your everyday work to accomplish His redemptive kingdom purposes in the world? I'm Lisa Bishop with The Christian Working Woman, and that's exactly what we'll talk about today. I'm joined by my friend Melissa Mackey of Faith and Worth Chicago. Welcome, Melissa.
It's great to be with you, Lisa.
So good to hear your voice. Melissa and I have known each other for quite some time, and she is the director of Faith and Work Chicago. She holds a Master of Arts in Theological Studies at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. I believe you have either already accomplished your PhD or going for that as well. She also lives.
On that.
Oh, you're working on it. Okay, great. She loves living in Chicago, traveling around the world, and cheering on her Chicago Cubs. Go Cubs!
Absolutely.
Well, hey, Melissa. You know, you have really invested years into this topic of work and faith. I remember having a conversation with you over dinner, goodness, maybe 10 years ago, time flies. Why is it so important for us as followers of Jesus to care about this topic of work and faith?
That's a great question, Lisa. Even just looking into sort of the research, you find that the average person will spend about 90,000 hours at work over the course of their lifetime.
Wow.
And so I think if for no other reason, this is something that we should care about because we are going to spend, you know, a good one third of our lives working. And then the reality, too, is that everyone works, whether we're paid or unpaid, you know, in the home, outside the home. Every person is contributing in some meaningful way to producing or caring for something in this world. And so when I think about it, there is a significant discipleship aspect to thinking about faith and work, that, you know, work and the workplace itself is a crucible, really, for our own sanctification, for knowing God, for becoming more like Him. But then I just think, too, that there's this missional aspect of it, that God uses our work, the actual work itself, to bring forth His purposes in the world. He uses it for human flourishing, and He uses it for people to come to a knowledge of Himself and to see on display what life under His rule and reign can look like. So I think that there are so many different dimensions of thinking about our work and what we do that, you know, are connected to our discipleship and our mission.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That is so good. And I, you know, I love that you said we all work, whether we work in the home or outside of the home, like we all are using our talents and gifts for the kingdom. So let's talk a little bit about one of the things that you say, which is, you know, work is not a punishment for sin. You say it's a significant part of what it means to be humans and image bearers. And I think that sometimes we can feel, and we have the wrong theology that work is actually a result of the fall and it is punishment.
Yeah.
And so we can go about our day with that, you know, perspective and attitude. But say more about that. Work is not a punishment for sin.
Yeah. You know, I think this tends to be one of the big ahas for people. And I sort of remember like realizing it myself. It was really a significant change in thinking, that when we realize that sin has made work hard and sin at times has made it unfruitful or degrading even. But if we understand the order of the story of the world, then we see that work, it wasn't a punishment for Adam and Eve's disobedience. That if we pay attention again to the order, that first God creates the world, then He creates an image of Himself in this world, and that's us. And then He puts humanity in this garden to work it and cultivate it. And Genesis 2 actually tells us that there was no garden until Adam was there to work it. And so I think there's great dignity and purpose in work, that far from punishment, it's actually a way that we get to look like God and that we continue His work in the world.
Mm.
And, you know, we see this in this job description that we're given. It's often called the cultural mandate, Genesis 1, 26 through 28, to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth, subdue it, to have dominion over it. And I think about, like, that is an incredible job description, that we're actually working representing God, that we're doing that by expanding upon His good creation, that we get this job description of ruling over His creation underneath Him. We get to be these servant kings, representing God, stewarding what He's given us. And so, you know, Adam and Eve weren't just supposed to like keep the garden as it is, like here's your little corner, like just keep it, you know, but really to expand it, to cultivate it, to, one author talks about it as Edenizing the world. Like that's what we were originally intended to do, and it's what we still get to do today, like even through our daily work.
I love that because, you know, as we know, mindset really matters, and the perspective through which we see our work really will impact how we show up in the work that we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think so often we have this sense that work is just a means to an end, that it's a way to, you know, make money. Or maybe if we have a Christian view, it's like a place for evangelism. But, you know, beyond that, we often think it has no spiritual purpose. Like we have to get through our quote unquote regular work, and then we get to get on to more important, like spiritual work, quote unquote. But that's not what, you know, scripture tells us about work, that when we understand work is like this way that we're to be a little mirror of God or a reflection of him and creating and caring, that work is given as part of our purpose from the beginning, I think it really helps to break down that sort of sacred and secular divide, that everything we do is part of our human job description of cultivating and ruling. And, you know, even when we call that filing or, you know, teaching or writing a business proposal or making a sales call, like all of those things come from that original intended purpose for being stewards of God's earth and continuing to care for it and cultivate it and create it.
That's so good. What do you say to people who are like, you know, I don't like my job?
Yeah.
Like how do people who may not be in a job that is super life-giving, how can we see our work as, you know, part of the redemption story and part of our call as image bearers? What would you say to those people?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, there's so many pieces to that. But one thing I think, if we're trying to think big picture, then, you know, I think often about how we pray for things. You know, we're taught to pray for God's provision to give us this day our daily bread. And I think about the fact that, like, the way God could work, and he has before, is to drop manna from the sky. Like he doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us. And so often we are, you know, the job that we do, while it may seem really insignificant or like, what in the world am I doing here? We have no idea how that contributes to God's purposes in the world, how
That's
that
so good.
Becomes an answer to prayer for someone. And so I think when we step back and just, you know, take a bigger picture look at how God made the world to work. Like he gave us our hands and feet, you know, to literally be his representatives and to bring about his purposes. And, you know, so often that feels so small and insignificant, but like, how dare we say that the part he's given us to play in his work is small or insignificant?
Yeah, that's good. And so it just sounds like maybe we need a, you know, a kind of a little bit of a perspective shift or an attitude adjustment, and asking the Lord, okay, how, like, the work that you have me in right now, like, you know, I may not know all the reasons, but how can I honor and glorify you? And even as God's word says, you know, everything we do unto the glory of God. And that means our work. You also teach that the gospel frees work to be about loving and serving others because we don't need it to validate our own worth. And I love that because I think a lot of people look to work as part of their identity. So say more about the, you know, how the gospel informs how we think about work and about serving other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that this is that, you know, piece of, even when I don't like my work, there is that crucible of discipleship that work can be. It's such a big deal to me because I think that this really speaks about, you know, in my own life, like how much I long to know the gospel deeply and have it really impact everything that I do. So, you know, I think as humans living with the effects of the fall, we often try to get from work or anything really, what only God can give us. And so, you know, we look to work for our identity, our value and worth. We look to it for our hope for the future, for our satisfaction. I think even like relief from guilt and shame, we are looking for our work to give that to us. And so there's like this little salvation story that's playing out in our workplaces all the time. So I think about it this way, like if it's true, if being on top of, you know, the sales charts or making the most money or winning the most cases or writing the bestseller, like if those are the things that can really take away our guilt and shame or can offer us hope for eternal life, then like, yes, like work should be about you. If that's what you know, we get from work, then like it should be all about you and making your way to the top. But if that's not really where life is found, if what we say is true about the gospel and our ultimate satisfaction, our deepest understanding of our worth, like our hope that we're living for, if we believe that that's found in Christ, then like work doesn't have to be about me. It doesn't have to be about making a name for myself. When we know that we've been created for a purpose, that we literally have been given everything that we need in Christ, then, you know, we don't have to prove ourselves. Work doesn't have to be about me. And so, you know, I can give myself away for the sake of others. I can think about my work as a place to serve rather than to be served.
Mm-hmm. That's good. What are some of the ways that you would say that would play out? Just even that concept that work doesn't have to be about me. And what are ways that we can serve other people in the workplace?
Yeah, it's so good. I think about, like, you know, being people who willingly share our platform so that someone else has a voice. You know, maybe that's a minority in our field. Maybe it's a non-native English speaker. Maybe it's somebody new to the workplace or with less experience. Or I think about how we can be people who give away our knowledge or skills on a particular issue, like even though we might not get credit, and even harder, even though, you know, somebody else might get credit. I think about staking our reputation to stand up for a coworker or a decision that we know is right or ethical or loving. And honestly, I think one of the biggest things we can do is we can actually extend forgiveness and we can own our mistakes. And I think that's radical. Wow. To be someone who, you know, asks for forgiveness when we've done something wrong, or who says, you know, actually, I'm the one that has to take the blame on that, which so often we don't want to do because that puts ourselves at risk, you know, that identity and worth piece at risk. But again, if we understand that's found in Christ, that he is the one who relieves our guilt and shame, then we can freely admit and offer ourselves, you know, back to people in that, those kinds of instances.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. You are so smart. I love the way that you talk about the gospel with just intellect and sound theology and great heart as well. And when you say that too, is, you know, I have this thought of having an abundance mindset and not a scarcity mindset, and not prosperity gospel abundance, but abundance, like abundance in the Lord. Like, he provides everything that we need. And so at work, I can give other people platform. I can give people credit. I love the, you know, what you said about, you know, we can extend people our reputation. We can open doors for people based on the trust that we've, you know, the relational capital we have for other people. So there are just so many ways that we can love and serve people, and it does require being selfless. But Jesus was selfless, right?
Yes. And I think, you know, if I constantly stop and ask myself, what am I expecting this job or this work or this promotion to give me that only Christ can? You know, I have to be really honest about that, and it can really reframe my attitude and my thoughts on the work that I'm doing and why.
That's so good. Well, in the about 30 seconds we have left, this conversation is so good. What would be a final thought or an action point that you would leave people with?
Mm-hmm. You know, I would say just to be reminded, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that our labor is not in vain, that in the Lord, our labor is not in vain, and he is the one who is at work in and through us. He is the one who will be glorified as we seek to serve him and not ourselves. And what you are doing matters in your everyday work.
That's so, so, so good. So for those of us who may be thinking our work is hard, the relationships are hard, it really is putting our faith and our trust in Jesus, that he has us where we are for a purpose. We may not see it all, but while we are where we are, that in our jobs, that we are image bearers, and being reminded of that, and how are we putting the glory of God on display in our work. Well, Melissa, thank you so much. This conversation has been so rich, so excited that we had the opportunity to connect today.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah, and just a reminder that our faith and our work matter. So keep doing what you're doing, all to the glory of God. Thanks for joining us today on The Christian Working Woman.